الحمد لله الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العلي العظيم. My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, the MC said that we are short bayat after the Zuhr Salah. So short is something which is relative. What do you mean relative? Short bayan, 1 hour, is very short regard to 50 hours. See, and 2 minutes can be very long with regard to 3 minutes. See, so he said a short bayan. So it depends. Hazrat Tamir Rahmatullah, once he stood up in a bayan, he said, I'm not feeling very well today, so I'm not going to speak very long. And he gave a 5 hour bayan. So inshallah, don't be so long the bayan. So we don't, inshallah, we'll still get our qayrullah. What the whole Islah Jalsa is, what is the object of this Islah Jalsa, the gathering? Inshallah, we will just discuss this year. And it's not my bayan. This is the bayan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah ta'ala gives in the Quran Sharif. And what is the importance of tazkiyah? And why every single one of us needs it, myself included, we all need it. And till when do we need it? Till we die. I was better to one chef 20 years ago, now my Islah is made, I'm finished. The minute you leave your Islah, you start coming down. And the minute you continue your Islah, you will progress. Our whole life, we have to make our Islah, we have to reform ourselves. There's no time a person can say, now, I'm finished, I'm relaxing now, I'm not making my Islah. It's a continuous effort until a person passes away. And this is the whole reason for this Islah Jalsa. Islam is to reform ourselves, to better ourselves. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that there are three groups of people. One person is called a Talib. Talib is a person who is trying to always better himself. I must become better. I must progress. My iman must progress. My salah must progress. Whatever actions I'm doing must progress. My knowledge must progress. My zikr must progress. I must become better in it. So he said, this person inshallah will progress. Then there's a second person, is called Qani'. Me, I'm happy where I am. I'm doing my namazes. I'm doing this action of mine. I'm making my zikr every day. I'm okay. Go to the other people. They're very far from deen. He says, a Qani'. He won't remain on his position, but he'll start coming down. Because now he's content. And when a ball is thrown up in the air, as long as there's power behind it, the ball continues flying up and up and up in the air. But the minute you stop the ball, what happens? Now the ball doesn't remain there, it starts coming down. So the minute a person says, me, I'm okay now, there's a minute a person starts falling slowly, slowly. And then there's a third person who's called Naqid, a critic. He's always criticizing. Every way he looks, he criticizes. He can only find fault. Al-Mu'ad Abdul Hamid Sa'ad Barakatuh mentioned one story of one person. He went to Nizamuddin, the Markaz. And he went there and he found fault. Everything he's seeing fault. He went to the kitchen, some faults there. He went to the toilet, it's very dirty. But the object of going to Nizamuddin, to listen to the bayans, to get hidayah, to see the jamaats going out, so much of benefit, he never took any benefit from there. He went to one buzruk in Bhopal, a pious person, and he told him, Hazrat, you know, I got this problem, I got that problem. This is the Nizamuddin is like this, the Markaz is like this, this and this. So the buzruk kept quiet, and he thought for a while, and he said, you know, you get a swine, a pig. And he goes into a beautiful garden with beautiful flowers. And he goes there and now it starts digging. It starts looking for the excreta. Right under the ground, the excreta is buried under. Goes, it starts digging, digging, looking for the excreta. And then when he finds that excreta, it comes and spreads it around. See, this is your example. There is so much of goodness there, but you can't see the goodness. You can only find fault. So you are a naqid. So a person who is naqid, who is a critic, he is under the ground. That person will never ever benefit. So may Allah make us amongst the first group, talib. We are always, our whole life, a person has to make effort continuously. How can I better myself? In these ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah ta'ala takes a qasam. He takes an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking the truth. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is al-haqq al-mubin. Allah ta'ala is the haqq, the truth. And who manifests and makes apparent the truth. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah doesn't have to take any qasam and oath. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat takes 7 qasams, 7 oaths to impress upon us that, oh my bandas, what I am telling you is of great importance. Listen carefully to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the first qasam, the first oath on the sun. The sun and the beauty of the sun, the brightness of the sun, was shamsi wa duhaha. how bright the sun is, how powerful the sun is. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Look at the opposite of the sun, the moon. The moon comes after it, the moon has got no light. The moon is completely black. There's actually one side of the moon, which still today nobody on the earth has ever seen that side of the moon. Because how the moon is, if a person studies astronomy, you will understand that the moon is rotating around the earth, and it's rotating around itself also. And it takes 29 days to rotate around the earth also, and 29 days to rotate around itself. So all the time when it rotates, it comes back to its original place. We never ever see the back of the moon. Till today, no one from the earth has seen the back of the moon. It's always in darkness. The front part of the moon, sometimes you see a little bit of light. It's not its own light also. It is the light of the sun, which is reflecting on the moon. The first day you see one small light, second day a bit bigger, third day, 14th, a big full moon, then again gets smaller, smaller, smaller. The light is very temporary, very, very small. Little bit of benefit it gives, but compared to the sun, it's nothing at all. So Allah says there's two examples. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَقْشَاهَا. Again, two opposites. And the day, how bright the day is. Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very manifest and clear. And in a person during the day, he can see many, many things. You open your eyes and you can look everywhere. And what of Allah's qudrat and power a person can see throughout the day. Allah says, I've made the day and the night. Let us think to ourselves. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِن رَحْمَتِي. It is Allah's mercy. جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah has made the day and the night for you. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ. You can have rest in the night. وَلِتَبْتَهُ مِن فَضْلِهِ. In the daytime you can go and get your rosy and sustenance. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so you can make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till today, who of us has thanked Allah ta'ala? Allah, you have given us the day. You have given us the night. Allah has made these things so we can thank Him. We can appreciate every single day of my life is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if I never opened my eyes this morning? So have we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Give us tawfiq, inshallah. Let us all say now, Alhamdulillah. That's for the day Allah has given us. Allah has given us the sun. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, these are bounties of Allah ta'ala for every single one of us. It's because it's general, we normally, it goes out of our mind. We don't think of it. We don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says the night and the day, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. In the day you can see everything. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. The night it encompasses everything. It envelops everything. You can't see anything. There's complete darkness. What happens in the night? The insects come out. The snakes come out. The scorpions come out. All the evil creatures come out. The crooks come out. All the evil things happen at night. So Allah has got two opposite things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And the sky, and how Allah has created the sky, how high and lofty the sky is, how powerful the sky is. And the sky is sending down rains. No one can reach the level of the sky. So high and above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the sky. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. And the earth, how low we have made the earth. A person walks on the earth. A person spits on the earth. A person has got no value for the earth. He's just walking on top of the earth. Cars are moving over the earth. Animals are moving over the earth. It is completely low. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these six qasams and oaths Allah has taken. Then Allah says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And the nafs, Allah is taking a qasam on the nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The soul within a person, the nafs, the desires within a person, and how perfectly balanced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. Allah has created good qualities in us and evil qualities. Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. The bad, the ability to do good also and the ability to do bad also, Allah has created in every single person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. If you want to be like the sun, you want to be like the day, you want to be like lofty like the heavens, you have to make tazkiyah of yourself, you have to purify yourself. And on the other hand, if you don't purify yourself, then you become dark like the moon, which can give off no light at all. You will become like the night, which a person cannot see anything at all. And you will become like the earth, completely disgraced and embarrassed, completely shunned down. You will be thrown on the ground. This is when a person doesn't make his islah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Definitely, definitely successful is the person who has purified himself. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawud Barakatuhum last night mentioned in great detail about what is falah, what is success. Success has got nothing to do with outside things. It is what is within a person himself. So here inshallah we will just mention two points regarding our tazkiyah, and every one of us can see how much, what is the need for us to make our tazkiyah, to purify ourselves. Not regarding other people, but every person, myself also, take an introspection. Allah Ta'ala will mention inshallah just two points here which Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi or the other Shaykh used to mention in great abundance. Two sicknesses within people, and let us see in amongst ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam and seven oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. If you purify yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you like the sun. You will be bright. People will take benefit from you like how people take benefit from the sun. But if you don't purify yourself, you'll be like that moon, which is completely dark, which can't give light. If it gives some light also, it is only through the barakat of that son. Like Abu Jahl, he did not make his tazkiyah. He was completely destroyed. His name would not have remained in history, but because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son, a small son name is in history, you might find his name written there. So the moon has got no status itself, but because of the sun, sometimes you see some light coming from there. And the day, in the day a person can see everything, when a person has made his tazkiyah and purified himself, then a person will be able to see reality, he will be able to see the things of this world, he won't be blind. But if a person has not made tazkiyah and purified himself, he will be like the darkness of the night. He won't be able to differentiate from right and wrong. He won't be able to differentiate from his mother and his daughter, from his wife and his daughter. What and what ajeeb and amazing things happen to people. A person cannot see right from wrong. A person goes more and more into problems. He will kill, he will murder, he will steal, he will rape, he will pillage, he will plunder. What and what he will do, because he has not made his tazkiyah. And if a person has made his tazkiyah, he will become high like the sky. Very, very lofty. Allah will increase his ranks, give him the highest of ranks. But on the other hand, if he doesn't make his tazkiyah, Allah will make him low like the earth. People will trample him, people will kick him around, people will spit at him. He was a multi-millionaire, but people will have no respect in the earth for him. People will look down upon him. His own family people will kick him around, they will shove him around, because he did not make tazkiyah. 2 points, important points here. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. If you purify yourselves. The first point which Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sa'adahu wa Barakatuh mentioned yesterday, he just gave an introduction, I will mention a bit more in detail. What we have learned from Hazrat, one is our nazar, our gaze. Our lust and desire which a person has got. Every one of us has got desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this desire in ourselves. But a person has to learn how to control it, to control himself. This is why we have the mashayikh, spiritual doctors. How can we learn to control that? Every person think to himself, how much do I control my desires? Is it, as Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sa'adahu wa Barakatuh mentions, a person is driving his car and his alignment is off. Now instead of going straight on the road, he's moving to the right, he's moving to the left, and he's struggling to put his car. So what must a person do? He'll go to the mechanic. I've got a problem. My car is not right. I need a wheel alignment done. Make everything right. Once the wheel alignment is done, then the car is moving on the roads again, the highways, on the byways. It's moving at 120, 150 kilometers. The tires will be in a good condition. Similarly, if we, instead of driving on the road, we're supposed to be looking at our wife, but our wheel alignment is off. Now we're looking at our neighbor's wife. We're looking at our sister-in-law instead of looking at our wives. So now our wheel alignment is off. We can't control our car. We are going in the wrong direction. So now this person, he must know his car is not right. He needs a tune-up. He needs to go to the mechanic. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention, he says that when a person does not look after his desires, he falls in love with other women. He mentions the quote of Hazrat Hakim Ul-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi. He says that any ta'alluk and connection a person has with the opposite sex, the opposite gender, whatever way it is, he says this has great, great harm for a person's spiritual life. It destroys a person's spiritual life completely. Whether even if it's talking, I make parda, but I only talk to the ladies on the phone, and I get enjoyment when I'm listening to them. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa la taqza'na bil qawl fiyatma'a alladhi fi qalbihi marad." The woman must not speak in a seductive voice, in a low voice. Yeah, the ulama say a beautiful point. Hazrat Hakim Ulama Tani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this command to the Azwaj Mutahharat, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was impossible for the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak in a seductive voice, in a low voice. What it actually means is, don't speak in your normal voice. When you are speaking to other men, don't speak in your normal voice, because naturally a woman has got attractiveness in her voice. When you listen to her voice, Allah has created that attractiveness in there. The person gets the desire to listen. So the woman must not even speak in a normal voice, which is attractive. Otherwise, فَيَتْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَدْ. That person who's got a sickness in his heart, now he will start desiring. How many people, they sit on the radio station, they know exactly when the auntie is coming on. So this time we must listen, we put the radio station on at that time. And now we're sitting and enjoying it. We're not listening to any bayan. We are fooling ourselves. That lust within a person. As Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he say by this illicit love affairs a person has got, a person is sitting on the computer, he can't control himself. Just one press of a button, before if you wanted to see somebody naked, a haram lady, you had to go to a prostitute then. Then after that it became a bit easier, you went to a cinema. Then after that it came in your house in the television. But still everybody is seeing the television. Today it's on your computer, in your laptop, you are sitting in the room. Your wife is sitting and sleeping there. You are sitting and watching the day, and you are sitting and watching the haram. I can't control my desires. A person is sitting with his cell phone, he's sitting and watching, somebody thinks he's reading Quran Sharif. As Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib mentioned yesterday, it happened in Azharville, in the Khanka, one person was sitting there with porn in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while fasting in the month of Ramadan, when a person has got the sickness. And in another masjid we went to also last year, they told us there, they said that they stopped putting tents in the masjid. It because of the same problem. They found so many people in Ramadan. These are not people out of deen. These are people who have got fikr for deen. That's why they come in to search for i'tikaf. And they say, we've got the sickness within ourselves. So a person who has not made islah, he hasn't corrected himself, he's in complete khasara, in destruction. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. But a person who learns how to control himself, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, learn how to control your gaze. He said, if you learn to control your gaze, I guarantee you the enjoyment of Jannat in this world. However, let's mention a few benefits a person will get when he will learn how to control his gaze. And to control one's gaze is not difficult at all. It's a few days of mujahada, sacrifice. But when a person controls his gaze, he will get the enjoyment of Jannah in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nadru sahmu min tihami iblis masmoon. The gaze is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. It's one of the arrows of shaitan which is poisonous. In the past eras, they used to have a bow and arrow. And when you shoot a bow at somebody, the arrow at somebody, it's very, very painful. It goes through your body, goes through your leg, through your hands, through your heart. It's extremely painful. We can't imagine. Imagine something like a bullet is so small, but the arrow is going through your body. How painful it is. But what they used to do, many people, on the tip of the arrow, they used to put poison there. So if you just shoot an arrow at somebody, you hit his hand, his hand may become paralyzed, you cut off the hand, the rest of the body is functioning. But when you put a poison on that arrow, it doesn't only hit the hand, and it goes through the hand, the poison goes through the whole body. So it destroys the person completely. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your gaze is a poisonous arrow from amongst the arrows of shaitan. So when a person looks at a woman, he's thinking, I'm getting enjoyment. All the time shaitan has shot him. And shaitan has shot his heart. And this effect has gone throughout the whole body of a person. مَن تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is watching me. If I'm walking today with my wife, she's walking next to me. Or I'm walking with my sheikh even. And we're walking and there's a beautiful woman walking past there. Then a person will look down, take all his tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, my sheikh is walking with me. Because now he's got, I have respect for my sheikh. And if my wife is there, I'll be in big trouble tonight, I won't get supper. I'd rather look after my gaze. But now we are walking and we forget Allah is watching us. Allah is with me all the time. So if a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala says, I will change it into iman. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He will find the sweetness of that iman in his heart. He will get that enjoyment. And in the heart pumps blood to the whole body of a person. When he will get the sweetness of iman, the sweetness will be pumped to the whole body of a person. Many people say, I don't get enjoyment in ibadat. I don't get enjoyment in the masjid. I don't get enjoyment in making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we haven't got that halawat of iman. We are losing it. We are destroying it in the marketplaces. We are working in our shops. We are flirting with women. We are speaking to this woman. We are sitting on the internet. We are watching our TV. So because of the sicknesses, we haven't got that halawat of iman. We haven't got the sweet taste of iman. And when a person has got the sweet taste of iman, what enjoyment a person will get in his ibadat. This is the one thing. Other thing, which Hazimullah Abdul Hamid Sa'adam Barakatuh mentions, he says many, many people have got problems with their wives. Having fights, endless fights at home with their wife. Problems upon problems. He says the main reason is we are not looking after our gaze. When a person learns how to look after his gaze, then inshallah he will get great enjoyment in his own house. And another gives a beautiful example. Normally in the month of Ramadan, Hazrat speaks about this in great detail. So he gives a beautiful example. There was one person here, he was working in the shop. And every morning he was a very poor person. So when at home, his wife used to make for him dal roti. And now he goes to the shop. Now sometimes she got no food also. So he goes to the shop and his friends, they're sitting, they're very rich people. They got lovely biryani, lovely akni, lovely, lovely food. They got some nice roti, kebab roti. So now he goes there and he sits there, relaxes. And he sees his friend, he eyes and hey, this guy got biryani. I must go and take some of the biryani. So when it's lunchtime, he goes to him, my friend, what's the time? He got a watch, but he asked him, what's the time? So his friend tells him, there is a time. He says, hey, it looks like nice food you got there. He says, no, join me, man. He says, no, I don't want to join you. No, I got my own food. He says, never mind, eat a little bit. He says, okay. He eats half the food up. Right? So he's sitting now, he enjoyed the biryani with one person. He goes to the next person, he eats the akni there a little bit. Third person, he goes and eats the kebab. Now when he comes home at night, he's nice and full. He ate properly the daytime. Now when he comes back home, again his wife got dal roti. He tells his wife, you know, you woman, can't you make something nice in the house? The salt is not right, and he's fighting with her, and he's arguing with her, and got so much of problems with her. But if that person was an honorable person, he was a respectable person, he did not lose his, he did not eat, he was not an unfaithful person, whatever food his wife gave him, little but one small roti, he ate it up. Now he was hungry, he comes back home at night. Whatever the food the wife would put in front of that person, with relish, with enjoyment, the person will eat it. He will eat it, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, every morsel will be so enjoyable for a person. You will get great benefit in there. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi Hazrat mentions, this is exactly the same condition with our lust. Every person has got lust and desires within himself. But if he's going out in a marketplace in the daytime, and that lust which Allah has created within him, he's using it in the wrong places. He's sitting on the internet and looking at that. He's sitting and talking with the other woman in the shop. He's having a discussion with them. As Mawlana Hussain al-Nasab, Ramul Barakatuh, mentions every year, that now 3 o'clock in the afternoon, your wife phones you. She says, my hubby, darling, I need some potatoes. He says, is this the time to phone for potatoes? You know, I'm such a busy man. Where I got time to get potatoes? Where I'm going to run to the shop. Then after 5 minutes, another lady phones. Young, pretty lady. Well, she comes to the office. She says, have you got some time? I've got half an hour for you. I've got enough time for you. And in a beautiful way, in a sweet way, now a person, how he speaks to that lady. So similarly, if a person the whole day is sitting and talking to those women, enjoying himself with them, now he's filled up his stomach. All those biryanis and aknis, they are walking on the street. He's sitting and looking at them, enjoying them, eating them in his eyes. So he's going to get enjoyment there. Now he'll come back home to his dal roti. His wife is like dal roti. He comes back home and he looks at her. And he says, now you like this here, and you are like this. The salt is not enough in you. You like this. And he'll only find fault in her. But a person who was honorable, faithful to his wife, he did not look at all of those haram things. He will come home and the great enjoyment he will get in his own wife. So today many, many people are complaining, I don't get enjoyment in my married life. I don't get enjoyment with my wife. There's no pleasure in our life. We are living a very dull life. The reason is not because something is wrong with our wife. The reason is something is wrong with our eyes. We are not looking after our eyes. We are not going to get enjoyment in life. So a person has to learn how to look after his gaze. So Hazrat says, if a person looks after his gaze, his deen will come right firstly. He will get the halawat and sweet taste of iman. Number two, his dunya will become right also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him great enjoyment in his married life. One person wrote to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi and said, Hazrat, you know, since I joined the Khanka, I've come now, I'm listening to the majalis, the gatherings, and I want to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm finding a problem. I'm finding my love for my wife is increasing. I thought I'll be more in the time in the masjid now, more ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come my love for my wife is increasing? So Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi says, definitely, when you got taqwa and piety within yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the halal love, Allah will increase it. You will get enjoyment of married life in this world already. And Allah will give you the enjoyment of jannah in your married life. So this is the second great benefit. A third great benefit when a person will look after his gaze. Our buzurg say, this is the experience of tajruba. Say you are walking on the street, and a beautiful woman is walking past you. And when a person learns to control his gaze, it's difficult upon a person. He has to make that mujahid and sacrifice in the beginning. But when he learns, it becomes easier and easier as the days go past. So a person now is walking, and this woman is walking past him, and he lowers his gaze for Allah's pleasure. They say at that time, whatever du'as a person makes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. It's the experience of the buzurgani deen and pious people. Whatever du'a you are making at that time, because you are breaking your heart for Allah's pleasure, make any du'a at that time. They say their experience, you will see the du'a will be readily accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might not see the effects of it straight away, but definitely the du'a will be accepted from that person. So this is so easy. A person is walking on the street, instead of looking at that woman, and what benefit are you going to get? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, you look at the woman, there's one of two things will happen. Either she was very pretty, you will say, ah, what a woman, but I never got her. And you feel bad about it. And if you looked at her and she was really ugly looking, you will say, ah, what an ugly looking woman, why I even looked at her? So you see, both ways, you're not going to get any benefit. So why are you wasting your time sitting and looking at the haram things? A person learns how to control his gaze. This is one thing of Islam. This is what is reformation. A person learns how to control his gaze. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. You want success? Learn to control, purify yourself, purify your gaze. Abstain completely from haram, relationships with women, with other immoral, going onto the internet, on all of those things. Even the newspaper, a person is reading today's times, and a person comes towards evil, filthy, ugly pictures, and a person is looking at those things. The more a person will learn how to control his gaze, the more respect he will get in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sight of creation also. A person's wife also, or buzurg say, she will start respecting him. She will say, my husband is a very pious person. And the first person to catch a person out when he's not looking after his gaze is the wife. She knows exactly my husband is not looking, he's watching this other person, and she won't have any respect for her husband at all. And then even worse, when a person doesn't control himself, he eventually falls into zina and fornication. I read one amazing story the other day, a very, very, it's a true story which happened in the Arab world. There was one youngster, he was in his young days, so he was going out, he had a girlfriend, and unfortunately he had done some wrong. So he says, after I had done that wrong, then she fell pregnant with this woman. So my brother was very, very upset. He came to my house and he caught hold of me. And he held me and he said, that you are the one who made my sister pregnant. And he wanted to beat me up. So I told him, what are you talking about? I don't even know your sister. So the brother got a shock. He said, you must go ask your sister who made her pregnant. I don't know what you're talking about. So anyhow, the brother was shocked. The brother left him. He said, I didn't worry about that woman. I didn't worry about the child she got. Nothing at all. And I left her completely and I carried on my life. He says, then many years later, a few years later, I came home one day and my mother was unconscious on the floor. She had fainted. I went to her and I woke her up. I tried to revive her. She started screaming. And she's screaming and screaming and she fainted again, second time. And the third time again, she woke up again, she fainted. So then I managed to wake her up, revive her. I said, what happened? She's screaming. She said, your sister. She's fallen pregnant by the neighbor's son. So I said, I got a shock of my life. How could somebody do this to my sister? Got very, very upset. I went next door, took hold of that person. And I held him up and I was about to punch him and hit him. He asked me, what are you doing? I said, you made my sister pregnant. He said, me? I don't even know your sister. Who's your sister? He said, this answer shock hit me. I hit my heart. Exactly what I told that person. Same thing happened to me. He said, I left that person. I went back into the house. I never had no answer at all. But I still never made tawbah in my life for the evils I had done. I'm about to get married now. And I'm sitting and my wife comes in a haram way. This is not permissible. But anyhow, she says, this woman comes to me and tells me, you know what? Just 5 minutes before getting married. 2 minutes before getting married. She said, you know what? I have to tell you something. That I'm not a virgin. I've spent my time before with somebody else. He said, at that time, what an embarrassment it was to me. What a shock to me. But I had to swallow my pride. And I just had to get married to her. Now it's too late. The wedding cars and every thousands of people come for the wedding. And now we're performing the nikah in 5 minutes time. I just had to swallow my pride and lose my respect or whatever. I just kept quiet. And I said, okay, I have to accept her like this. Yeah. Anyhow, I got married to her. We lived happily together. I got a child, eventually one daughter. And the daughter reached the age of 6 years old. And when she was six, one day she comes running in the house. And she's crying. And I asked her, what happened to you? She said, the neighbor, the guard next door, he raped me. He said, then I fell down and I started making tawbah and I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing me in this world, whatever a person does, it hit him back eventually later on in life. He says, what happened was that woman who I had done wrong to, she was somebody's sister. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this, you did something to somebody else's sister, I will do something to your sister. Somebody did something to your sister. Then the woman who you got married to, you were getting married to her, and the woman you had relations with, she had to get married to somebody else later on in life. That person also had to bear the stigma, and he had to lose his pride at getting married to a non-virgin. So somebody Allah Ta'ala tested me, and Allah Ta'ala gave me somebody who also wasn't a virgin. And he says, because I had done wrong to that woman, she was somebody's daughter, how the father must have felt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me feel that you are a father today, this is what will happen to your daughter also. He said, then I made tawbah. If a person makes tawbah, inshallah Allah will forgive a person. But a person must get the tawfiq and ability of making tawbah before that. Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib Rahimahullah Barakatuh mentioned, he says, whatever you do in life, comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ifu anin nisa ta'ufu nisa'ukum. You be pure and stay away from other women. Allah will keep your woman pure. Birwa abakum tabarrukum abna'ukum. Be kind and compassionate to your parents. Allah will make your children kind and compassionate to you. As you do in this world, so will be done upon you. Don't think that whatever I'm doing, nobody knows about it. I can do whatever I want to, whatever haram I want to do. Nobody will ever catch me out. No, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the effects hit you back. Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib Rahimahullah Barakatuh mentions, there was an alim. He unfortunately also fell in the wrong path. He met one woman, he fell in love with her. She was a very, very low woman. Very evil woman. He used to do wrong with her. The people of the town came to know about it. And they were very intelligent people. They never make a big fuss about it. They went firstly and they made mashwara amongst themselves, amongst the elderly people of the town. And they called this Mawlana Sahib and they spoke to him. And they said, you know what, that you are a young person, you've got desires. Why don't you do it in a halal way, get married? And they took him and they got him married to one very, very young, pretty woman. Very pious girl also. Anyhow, he got married, he started living with her. But unfortunately, that person, now because your tabiat and your nature is upside down, evil, full of filth and dirt. Now he wasn't happy with the halal which Allah had given him. But now he was going to the haram. He, in front of his wife, he used to, so insolent he was, so filthy he was, he used to call the other woman to the house, he'd tell his wife, cook for this lady. And then she'll cook for the lady, she had to cook for him, and then he'll tell his wife, I'll go outside the house now. After going out of the house, he will do wrong with her. So anyhow, she, for a few months, it carried on like that day. The people of the town got fed up. They said, this is a Mawlana, he's in our town. They kicked him out of the town, they fired him from the job, and they kicked him out and got rid of him. Anyhow, there was one person living in the town. Many years later, it happened he was going past a certain area, and this Mawlana Sahib was living there. So he said, let me go and see this Mawlana Sahib, how he is now, how he's faring. So he went there, and he sees how Allah Ta'ala had changed the tables. That now that woman, she had become now an evil woman. And she was calling other men inside her house. And when she called the other men in the house, she kicks her husband out of the house. You go and sit outside, now I'm sitting with this man here. So the Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib said, see, إِفْوَانِ النِّسَاءَ تَعُفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. You stay away from other women, your woman will remain chaste. And if you are an immoral person, an evil person, the same effect will happen upon you. If you're looking after your gaze, you're not looking at anybody, Allah Ta'ala will protect your woman. Your woman, your wife, your daughter, your sister will remain pure. But if they are not remaining pure, the main reason maybe is because of us, our evil actions which we are doing. We are looking at haram, this is having an effect on our children. There is a mention of a story also, one person, once he went to his wife, he was a jeweler. So one day, when he came home, his wife was crying. So he said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Today a very amazing thing happened. For 20 years, that cupbearer who comes in, that time they used to bring water to the house, this person carrying this jug. Every day he comes to our house and used to give us, pour the water out, he was blind, pour the water out and then go away. But today he came to the house and he came forward for me and he started holding my hands and pressing my hands and rubbing my hands. I got a shock of my life. And I said, "What are you doing?" He got a fright and eventually he went away. So then the husband started crying. So the wife said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "You know, me also, I'm a very chaste person. I don't ever do anything wrong with any woman. I'm a jeweler. Any woman comes to my shop, I don't ever touch their hands. I'll always give them the jewelry. They must try it on themselves. But today one young lady came to the shop. And she looked like very, very pretty outwardly. Her hands were like looking very, very young and pretty. So then I started feeling her hands. I started pressing her hands, rubbing hands. I told her, "No, I'll put the jewelry, the ring on for you. I'll put on the bangles for you." And I was rubbing her hands. So then he realized, it is because of that action which I had done. That is why Allah Ta'ala had made the same action happen to his wife. Then immediately he made tawbah. The next day the cupbearer comes to the house again. And he tells the lady, "You know what, I'm sorry, so sorry, I don't know what overcame me yesterday. When I went home I realized I did a very, very evil action. I made tawbah yesterday immediately. And inshallah in the future I'll never ever do this again." So according to a person's actions, like how in the Australians have this boomerang. You take the boomerang and you throw it. And how far the thing goes, or what happens to it eventually? It comes back to you and you have to catch that thing. So whatever a person action is doing in this world, it's in a boomerang upon a person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As an Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, the only thing which will stop the nar of shahwat, the fire of desires, is nur haq, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will get the nur, light in his heart, and he will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the easiest way to save a person from all of these desires. And the second thing is, when a person will stay in the company of the five friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that courage will be created in the heart of a person. The person says, "I can't control my gaze." The mashayikh will show easy, easy prescriptions. The person will start following the prescriptions. He'll be shocked himself. "I thought it was impossible to control my eyes. I thought it's the impossibility. Me, I love woman. I am woman. All the time I'm sitting with woman. I love talking with woman." The person gets shocked in his life. How Allah Ta'ala will protect that person also. He'll be able to come out of the sin very, very easily. This is one aspect of our Islam we have to make. Another very, very important aspect of our Islam. Every one of us, mashallah, here, all people with kurtas, with beards, with pious faces. People, now when a person becomes into deen, when a person is out of deen, then eventually a person comes into deen. Then now Abu Zulghani didn't say that at that time, shaitan attacks a person with the same nuskha and the same prescription which he tried on himself, which he himself was became mardood and rejected, and that is pride. Person now comes into deen, he got a bit of piety in his life, he's wearing a kurta now, he got a beard, and now he's walking around, he says, "Look at those people. They don't perform namaz. What kind of people they are?" So this arrogance comes into a person. And now a person feels, "I'm a very, very great person." And this pride completely destroys a person. So Allah says, "Qad aflaha man zakkaha." Successful is the person who has made tazkiyah and purified himself. "Wa qad khaba man dassaha." And a person who does not make tazkiyah, doesn't purify himself, he is in complete loss. A person has got pride. "Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah." A person has got humility for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise that person. "Wa man takabbara wada'ahu Allah." And a person has got pride, one atom's weight of pride, wada'ahu Allah, Allah will disgrace that person. Allah will bring that person down. Abu Zulghani Deen have mentioned so beautifully, they say the signs of pride within a person, that me, I like name and fame. I like people must respect me. I must walk ahead always in the group. They say when they're calling people, they say, "I mean, let me sit in a place of honor. I'm a satya, this is my place. I'm a VIP. People must, they don't know who I am. What is my status? What a respectable person I am. I am so and so person. I am Hazrat. I am reading namaz every night. So much. If somebody does wrong to a person, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, he's waiting. He says, these people don't know how pious I am. Allah's punishment is going to come on these people. They don't know who they're dealing with. They're dealing with Allah's special close one. See, this is all pride within a person. This is arrogance within a person. And Dr. Farooq Ghaisab, Ramah Barakatuh, mentioned to me recently, he was saying in today's time also, pride, a cell phone, a status. You know who I am? I must have my status. Everything must be written there. All the time a person has got this within himself. I must become big. I must become great. I'm a very great person. Takabbur. Kibar. Kabir means big, to be big. I must be a big person. I'm a great person. Nobody is prepared to humble themselves. How is a person going to get unity in life? Hajim Dadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah used to say that the people are saying unity, unity, we want unity in the world. He said without tawadu and humility you can never ever get unity in the world. Everybody wants his say. I am a great person. So a youngster doesn't want to listen to his father. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah says this takabur and pride is such a great sickness. And Allah protect and save all of us. We all have to make figure. He says, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah says that your person has to make effort. If you don't make effort to cure yourself, you don't make effort to cure yourself from the sickness will get worse and worse in a person. It never ever comes out. The person has to make a concerted effort to remove this year. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah says, if a person has got pride, it is the same pride which will make a father fight with his son fight with his father. The student will fight with his ustad. The murid will fight with his chef. Husband will fight with his wife. I can't accept what my wife is telling me. She tells me the truth, but I have to try and cover up. What excuses I'll make? How can that woman ever be right? A person is not prepared to acknowledge this person has done me a favor. Everything is me. I'm a great person. One CEO, one of these big chairman of a company, he was driving with his wife one day, and they're driving past one filling station. So he stopped there. He wanted to go to the toilet, relieve himself. So he goes to the toilet. He comes out. He sees his wife is talking, standing and talking with the petrol attendant. So he gets a shock. She's talking with the attendant. She's laughing with him. So when he was sitting in the car, he called her. It's not permissible. This is an example. So he says that, who you were talking with? So she said, no, this was my high school boyfriend. We used to go out. And for a while I was dating with him. And then after it, I met you and I got married to you. So I met him now after so many years. And I was talking to him. So the husband out of pride says, hey, see, how lucky you've seen this car we're driving here. You're lucky you got married to me. Otherwise you should be married to a petrol attendant. So she told him, you're lucky you got married to me. That's why you're the CEO today. Otherwise, you should have been a petrol attendant. You're thinking it's because of me. I'm the great person. I did all the work. No, it's the other person. So we always want to take the credit for ourselves. Me, you know who I am. I'm the great person. I have done this here. I am a great person. So Allah Ta'ala protect and save all of us. Man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. There was once a person gets some status, some fame. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says there are 5 reasons why a person gets pride. The first reason he says is because of knowledge. As a person gets knowledge, whether it's worldly knowledge or dini knowledge also, automatically pride comes within a person. Ilm is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more knowledge comes into a person, this ulu, this greatness comes into a person. And if a person doesn't make an effort, then the pride will increase within a person. It will completely destroy a person. So ilm, this is one reason why a person gets pride. The second reason why a person gets pride, piety. A bit of taqwa, piety comes into his life. Now he's looking down upon other people. Once there was a person of the Bani Israel. So another person came to him, was a very evil sinner, evil doer. He sat next to that person. The person said, get away from me. You are a very evil person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi and revelation to the Nabi of that time. They tell him that both of them must start their actions once again. The evil person, I have forgiven all of his sins because the other person embarrassed him. And the person outwardly is pious. Then he must start all his actions again. All his good actions I have erased it. I have completely destroyed it. Because he had that pride, that arrogance. You know who I am. And so this is the second reason. When a person has got some piety, then he's got that arrogance comes within a person. The third thing is, when a person has got lineage, I come from a certain family. You know, my father was this here. My grandfather was so and so person. Then a person automatically gets pride within himself. The fourth reason is, a person has got beauty. Yeah, I'm a very handsome person. Look at those people. And this is unfortunately one thing why racism also is very, very common. It's a thing of pride. A person is a racist because it's a pride. It's a thing of pride. Arrogance within himself. That because of my color, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single person in the world is very, very beautiful. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ Allah has created every single human being in the best of forms. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at the outward form. Allah is looking at the heart of a person. Abu Lahab outwardly was the most handsome person. He will be in the fire of Jahannam. And Bilal radiallahu anhu outwardly was not very, very handsome looking. He will be in the highest levels of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at the heart of a person. It's color because of arrogance, because of my lineage, which family I come from, which qam I come from. And a person has got pride because of that. If Allah has made a person an Arab, alhamdulillah, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no problem. Allah has made it from a certain family. But to have pride and arrogance, and to look down upon somebody, to bring down somebody, to embarrass somebody, Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sadaam Barakatum says, you've got a worker working for you, and you've got pride and arrogance within yourself, and you lower that person, you put him down, you shout him, you feel I can tell him what I want to. Remember, you are paying for his time. You are not paying for his honor and his respect. You can't take his respect away. You can't sway him as you want to. You can't make him run for his money. Yeah, I'll come back next week. And unfortunately, this happens amongst rich people more. They've got that extra wealth. And wealth also creates, this is the fifth thing of which makes a person proud. I got wealth. I can buy whatever I want to. Yesterday, Molana, after I said Molana, Usman Kadwa Sahib, Dawan Barakatuh, mentioned a story, inshallah, we'll mention it again for the benefit of the listeners who are not here. Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dawan Barakatuh, also mentioned the story that once there was a husband and wife, they were sitting to eat a meal, and our Hazrat says that we should try to bring it within our families, in our lives also, husband and wife, just together once in a while, not in a restaurant also, in your own homes, sit together, just husband and wife, have a meal together. Makes a special husband dress up for the wife dress up for the husband. This will create love and muhabbat. Many times a person takes things for granted in life. I'm married so many years. My wife knows I love her. No, express your love to your wife. Tell your wife you love her. Show your gratitude to her. Because when a person takes things for granted, then eventually that love is, that rift is created in this marriage. So anyhow, this person now, he was sitting with his wife, and there was a knock on the door. One beggar had come. So the husband got very, very angry. I tried everything with my wife, and the beggar comes now. He went there and he gave him one kick and he chased him away. Get out from here. You're disturbing us at this time. He was very upset and he chased him away. Anyhow, after this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that all problems started in his life. 3-4 shops, they all started closing down. Now his business is completely at a loss. He had no money left. He told his wife, you know what, I'm selling my house also. I have to give you talaq. I have to give you a divorce. I can't live with you. I can't look after you. You'd rather go find your own way, go stay by your parents, get married again. But I can't look after you. Anyhow, one action she had done, he had chased away the beggar. Anyhow, she went away to her parents, she said for her iddat. Eventually she got married again, and she was living in another town. One day again, she was sitting with her husband, same thing had happened again. They were dressed up for each other, they're eating the meal together, and they hear a knock at the door. When they open the door, they see, the husband tells the wife, that, you know what, whatever food you have made, go to the door and give it to the beggar. When she goes to the door and she opens the door, she screams, and she falls down. Husband comes running. The beggar, he sees this, he gets frightened. They blame him just now. He runs away quickly, turns around and he's gone. Husband comes in and says, what happened? She says, no, nothing happened, don't worry. He says, no, something definitely happened. Did the beggar interfere with you or something? She says, no, nothing at all. He says, no, tell me exactly what happened. Then she told her, you know, I mean, many, many years ago, my husband, we were living a very, very happy life. That actually was my husband at the door. He was a beggar today. But many, many years ago, we were living together very happily. And one day, one beggar came to our house. And my husband was very rude to that beggar, and he kicked him away. And after that, we had problems in our life. Eventually, he divorced me, and I came and I got married to you. So the husband turns around and says that, you know what, I was that beggar who came to your house many years ago. And your husband kicked me away. But because he looked down upon that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. All his wealth, everything of his, even his wife, Allah ta'ala gave it to the other person. So we can never have pride because of my wealth, because of my status, because of my beauty. These are all things. When a person gets some status in life, I'm the mayor today. I'm the imam of the masjid. I'm the trust committee members. Yeah, I'm the main guy here. So what I say, my saying goes. Nobody can tell me anything. So there was one person like this, especially a person who works in the government. So he went to one farmer. He told the farmer, I've come to check up on your property. Farmer says, you know what, you can check up on my property, no problem. He says, I've got my badge. This badge allows me to go anywhere I want to go. So he says, Hazrat, yes, you can go. He said, don't know but here. I'm the boss here. Whatever I say goes. See, but don't go into the one section. Say, don't tell me where I must go, where I mustn't go. My badge allows me to go everywhere. So anyhow, he said, okay, whatever you want to do, you do. So anyhow, he went inside. After half an hour, the farmer is hearing that inspector is running for his life. And the big bull which is there is chasing him. It's on his heels. And now the man is screaming and he's trying, he's worried and he's screaming one way. The farmer runs up to the edge there. He jumps up and he tells him, show him your badge, show him your badge. Now where's your badge now? My badge, I'm a big person, I'm a policeman, I can do this here. So a person must be very, very careful. This takabbur, it destroys a person completely. Man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. A person who has got takabbur and pride, Allah will disgrace and embarrass that person. Our words, inshallah, before ending, I will mention a few ilajas and cures which our Buzurgani Deen have mentioned. How will a person cure himself from this pride and takabbur? The first thing is, a person must have a spiritual guide. Normally, pride prevents a person. Why must I listen to somebody? Why must I take bread to somebody? You know, we know who I am. I'm the big guy in my family. How can I lower myself before somebody? This is exactly what destroyed Shaitan. Shaitan said, you know, Ana khairun min, I'm better than him. I must bow down before Adam alayhi salam. Never ever. How can I lower myself? This is the greatest sign of pride when a person says, me, I must go before somebody. And you're not saying take bread to our chef. Wherever a person is heart is inclined towards, a person is going to take bread to that chef. But a person has learned how to humble himself. And this humility is very, very beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Allah will raise that person up. So the first thing is to have a spiritual guide. Have somebody in our life who we can refer to and to listen to that person. When by man, by nature, we are naqisul aqal. Our aqal is very, very small. We can't understand things. We think we are clever. But in actual fact, we can't see our own benefit, our own harm. Somebody outside, they can see ourselves. If you are writing an examination, how much marks do you write for? For 50% or 60% or 100%? Everybody writes for 100%. No one writes for 50%. But why when... So you writing according to your mind, you got 100%. Otherwise you wouldn't write the wrong answer. But when you give it to the teacher, he marks it 60%. You only got 60%, 70%. So you yourself, you can't mark your own paper. You have to give it to somebody else. So a person can't be his own sheikh. Even the sheikh needs a sheikh, somebody to correct him. We cannot see our own faults. Somebody else will see our faults. So the first level of tawazu and humility to create within a person's self, to get out of the kabur, is to have a sheikh, to have a spiritual guide. Second thing is, Wuzurganidin have said, very, very simple. Whenever a person gets pride within himself, just make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite of takabur is tashakur. The opposite of pride is shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any bounty which comes within a person, I'm great now. Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, it's not my greatness, it's not myself. Everything is only from you. When a person makes shukr and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah this pride will come out within a person, from a person. But not one day a person makes shukr and finish after the day. But a continuous effort the person has to make. And the third thing, Abu Durrani Deen have said, that every day Allah has made our islah. Allah allows us to go to the toilet 3 times a day, 5 times a day. And in there, that's our islah khana. You call it one room. Our rooms, we have bedroom. So this is called islah khana. Our khanka is in our toilet. And when a person goes there, Allah Ta'ala is showing a person. In general, there won't be any toilets. So a person, why Allah has created a toilet in this world? One reason is that Allah wants us every day to think that where are you? What is in you? One day one person was walking with arrogance and pride. So he pushed somebody on the side. Say, you know who I am? Person say, I know who you are. You that person who, in the beginning, you was nutfatun taziratun, one filthy piece of sperm. And finally you will be jifatun maziratun, one corpse which will be filthy and dirty. وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذَرَةَ. And in between that condition, you're carrying excreta and stool in your stomach. So what pride can you have within yourself? Me, that sperm is so filthy and dirty, Allah says, I created you. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, how can a person have pride when his own wujud and existence, it came out from a private part twice, from the father's private part and from the mother's private part. You see, what takabur and pride can a person have? And a person was in the womb of his mother for 9 months. And in that 9 months, what food was he eating? The monthlies of the mother, the haze, the filthy, dirty blood, Allah was putting it in the umbilical cord of the child. Allah was putting it in the child. So the child mustn't get pride when I get there. You know who I am. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, this is where you have come from. هَلَّ تَعَلُ الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Man was nothing at all. He was a sperm, he was filth and dirt. And today he's got pride and arrogance within himself. A person has found the way his origin was. A person every day when he goes to the toilet, he must think to himself, what exactly I am. Al-Mullah Abdul Hamid Sa'ad Barakatum says, he went to one person's house, and he said that person got a nice toilet, and the toilet is well padded. So he said, why you got so much of padding here in the toilet? So he said, you know the bombs which fall here, he is very, very heavy, even bigger than the bombs which fell in World War II and World War I. He said, so heavy bombs they fall here. So I padded the room nicely, so that no sounds go outside. So this is the sound that come out in the toilet. What and what smells come out? Well, the taste of the thing, nobody will ever try to taste it also in his life. And looking at the thing also, a person feels upset. Allah is showing us every day, this is your reality. Don't have pride within yourself. And the last cure which our Buzurgani Deen have mentioned, he say every day in your life, every day, a person must say to himself, that from all the Muslims at the present moment in the world, and take your name, I, Musa Kaji, am the worst of all the Muslims at the present moment in the world. And with regards to my final condition, I am worse than all the kuffar and all the disbelievers also. See, think of this here, why? Because what happens if I leave this world without iman? And there are many, many examples of the people who left this world without iman. They were Muslims outwardly. At the time of death, they left without iman. So a person mustn't have pride within himself. So we can't look down upon anybody. Somebody is doing an evil action, go to that person nicely. Your tone also, it will show you whether you've got pride within yourself or whether you've got feeling for that person. To correct that person is one thing, but to make tahkir and to lower that person is something else. It's a nice way to tell a person. Sometimes in a masjid, we see some youngsters coming, and that person now is troubling, he's making noise. We forget when we were youngsters, we never ever read namaz in the masjid at all. Only 50 years, Allah gave us tawfiq. Now we start shouting the children, what's wrong with you all? Get off from the masjid. You never come here to make noise. And we are embarrassing the child in front of everyone. The child leaves the masjid, he never ever comes back. And we think, I've done a very, very great action. But it's full of pride and arrogance within a person. He's chased the person away from the masjid. The child will never come back to the masjid again. How must a person correct also? A person has to have humility within himself. Inshallah, we'll end off this. Ilaj, a person must try to get within himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of this surah, yeah. There was once waqia which I remembered now, of one pious person. Actually what happened was, Once there was one very, very evil person. I just want to show you the benefit of tawadu and humility. There was one very, very evil person once. And from a small age in his life, he was full of filth and dirt. He grew up, his parents passed away. When he was, eventually he was in the company of some very, very evil people, bandits, crooks, robbers. And he lived with them at the age of 15, 16, 12. He made his first robbery. 14, 15 already was in jail, locked up one time, two times. He came out. Eventually they cut his one hand off also. Still he went out, he started stealing. A very, very evil life he lived. And eventually he got a whole jamaat of crooks, bandits around him. And he was the gang leader. He was an expert. And they, in Baghdad this happened many, many centuries ago. And they used to kill the people, they used to rob the people, plunder the people. Eventually what happened was that all of them were in a certain place, in robbing some place. And all the crooks managed to run away besides him. He got caught. He was in the house and the police came and they caught him. They took him to the police station. So he was a very unfaithful person. What he did was he told the police, look here, in exchange of my life, I'll give you the names of all my friends and my satis, whoever was with me. So they agreed. Every single one of them was caught and they were all beheaded. And he managed to get locked up in a jail for 20 years. He stayed in jail for 20 years, but no Islah took place there. He never came right then. Actually, he got worse. The day he got out of jail, again now he's going, how can I steal something? So anyhow, he went walking around now in Baghdad. Eventually at night he saw one house, and it looked like outwardly the door was open. So now he's back to his normal habit again. So he enters the house. He says, what a stupid person, that's never locked his house also. So anyhow, he goes in the house, and he sees now there on the, there's really nothing in the house. So he sees this person got a very simple house, what a foolish person also, he got nothing in his house. But anyhow, there's some chadars here, some mess, I'd rather steal that, there's nothing else. So I'll fold them up, put them in my bag, and I'll steal and run away. So he sat down now, you know, actually his one hand was cut off, so with the other hand now he's trying to fold up those blankets, and trying to put them in his bag. Trying, suddenly he hears a noise. And he looks up. There wasn't light in the house. In that time there was lanterns people used to use. So while he's doing busy, he hears a noise. One person enters from the other door, and this person has got a lantern. So the person says, my friend, I see you must be very, very hungry, very, very thirsty. You want a glass of milk? So now he got a shock of his life. He sat down. He's thinking, now who's this person here? He can't be the owner of the house. Immediately he'll call the police. I got it. He must be another crook. But I came in the house first, and I got all of this bedding first, so I'm taking the day. So when the person comes back with the milk, he says, look here, you can't deceive me, you can't fool me. This milk here, I with one glass of milk, all of these things are mine. So the person says, no problem, it's all yours, I'll even help and assist you. I see you're suffering. So anyhow, we have the person is now folding everything up. He says, look here, I'm the boss, you have to be under me. So the person says, no problem, I'll be under you. So now they gathered everything, it took them quite a while, and now they start moving. The person says, let's get out of here, we'll get caught just now. Don't worry, I'm a very good crook, I know exactly all the styles. I got a good hiding place, you just follow me, I'll teach you the trick, the arts of the trick, of the trade. So anyhow, they come out of the house and they start moving, they go away, running. This man is a bit of an old person, he's walking and he's stumbling and he's feeling difficulty, he's breathing very heavily also. So the crook in front is shouting him, come quicker, faster, we have to go, I'm carrying the small bag, you must carry the big bag, made him carry the big bag. And they are moving, so this man is running behind him, eventually he fell down, the person in the back. So the crook got very, very upset with him. He gave him one kick. He said, what's wrong with you? Help me. Quickly. You have to go from here. So anyhow, this person took him. Eventually they came to one house, right outside on the outskirts of the town. It was near the time of dawn, near morning time. So the person said, you can leave the things. We're going to go inside here. We're going to stay here. So then the man in the back tells him that, I am not the person who you think I am. You are thinking that I am a robber. In actual fact, I am the owner of the house. And you are my mihman. You came to my house. And I ask you for maafi, I could not fulfill your right as a mihman, as a guest who came to my house. I gave you one glass of milk. And then I brought these things and I've given you so much of taklif and difficulty, it took you so much of hardship, I put you through, and I brought the things what you wanted, and I've eventually given it to you. I ask you for maafi, please overlook my faults and my weaknesses. So anyhow, and he left that good day, and he turned around and he went away. Now this person is sitting now, and he's in shock. That what a person, do you ever get people like this here? It was his house, he could have called the police, he could have locked me up. But what humility this person had in his heart. So anyhow, he sat from the time of Fajr until Asr time. He sat in shock. And his heart was completely changed. He said, I have to go and see who this person is. I have to become a slave of this person. Who is this person? Yeah, I cannot believe can somebody in this world can have such a heart like that, the heart of gold. Anyhow, he returns now, he comes back to Baghdad, and he's walking and he comes to that house, and he meets one person outside and he says, you see that house there? Who is the trader? Who is the businessman? Whose house is it? See, this is not a businessman. This is the house of the saint of the time, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. He said he got a shock of his life. He goes inside. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi was having a majlis with his murids. And after he had finished the majlis, he comes forward and he comes and he says, please make me bet also. And he made tawbah and he changed his life. He became the wali of the time. Tawazu, humility. What a quality that attracts people. May Allah, this is a very high level of tawazu. I'm just trying to show. May Allah give us tawfiq. We got batarul haq. We can't accept the truth from our wives. A wife tells you something, you got 100 excuses. We cannot accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, inshallah, this few minutes. In this surah, Allah ta'ala says, that this pride which you got within yourself, and this lust which you got with yourself. I'll give you one example, Allah says in the Quran. Kazzabat thamudu bitaqwaha. This nation of Thamud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them such a sign. They said, we want to see a sign. We want the camel to come up from the mountain. Then we'll accept what you say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salih alayhi salam, made dua. The camel came out of the mountain and he gave birth to a child right in front of their eyes, but pride, the person is not prepared to accept. He hears the truth also, but because of pride and arrogance, they were not prepared to accept. And then the other thing was lust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there was one lady in that time, her name was Saduf. She was a very, very pretty lady. She had a lot of camels. She had a lot of animals. So when Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, this camel came out, so Salih alayhi salatu wasalam told the people, see, that you ask for the sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given you the sign now. This camel will give so much of milk, there will be milk for everybody, the whole town will get milk from that camel. But one day the camel will drink from the water, and one day your goats and sheep will drink. And there's enough water, and you need every second day to drink. This lady wasn't happy. She was a very rich lady. Wealth, and she was very, very beautiful. This creates pride within a person. So she said, no, I'm not happy with this here. So she told one man, she and a friend, there was two of them, they told one man, his name was Qudar bin Salif. He was a very ashqaha, he was a very badbakht, a very wretched person. So she told him, you know what? Whatever you want to do with me, you can enjoy yourself with me. On condition you must kill the camel. The sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pride and lust, these two same gunas which I'm talking about, how they destroy a person. So Allah ta'ala says, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَوْهَا, the most badbakht person, the most wretched person, he stood up. And the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam said, نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَهَا, this is the camel of Allah. Beware regarding the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the water. Make sure you give the animal its water. But they were not happy. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا, they never accept what Salih alayhi salam did. They denied him and they went and cut the camel. They killed the camel. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed them because of the guna and sin. فَسَوَّهَا, Allah ta'ala destroyed them completely. There wasn't even one person left over. Every single one of them, because of the pride and arrogance and because of this guna of lust and desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed them. وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا, and Allah is not like the king of this world, that the king now is in a country, he makes a certain rule and now he's frightened. I've got the army, but what if the whole country turns against me? Allah says, we don't fear anybody. وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَاهَا, he doesn't fear the repercussions. Somebody will come back and they will cause harm to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not frightened of anybody. So in this beautiful surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the importance firstly of tazkiyah, how important it is for a person to make tazkiyah, and the harm of not making tazkiyah, and eventually people are completely destroyed because of not making the tazkiyah, purifying themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guard myself. Firstly, in the beginning we spoke about the importance of having tazkiyah throughout our life. Not that now I'm in the khanqa also, I made tazkiyah for 5 years, I was bad to a sheikh, or now my tazkiyah is finished. Or Buzrugani didn't say that when a person, even if he is a pious person, a muslih, a person who guides other people, but if he is not concerned about his own fikr, he won't even remain salih, he won't even remain pious himself, he himself will completely fall. So our concern must be for our fikr and our islah throughout our lives. In a very, very easy way is, a person has ta'aluk with a buzruk, a pious person. Any buzruk, there are so many, mashallah, in our country, pious, awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Link ourselves to these pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to them. We have got sicknesses in our heart. Cure ourselves from our sicknesses. What enjoyment we will get in this world. Many times shaitan deceives a person that if you go and become pious, you will live a very, very boring life. This is the deception of shaitan. The true enjoyment of life will come when a person gets piety in his life. When a person gets the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we finish off, we had discussed yesterday two of the principles for our benefit for Islam. One was aqaid and the other one was ibadat. Today we're going to discuss mu'amalat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu adkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran, O believers, enter into Islam and submit completely and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Surely he is your open enemy. This verse commands us to enter into Islam completely. This means that we should accept every law and adopt it practically. By adopting any other path, we will be following in the ways of shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system of life which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. This includes aqaid, that is beliefs, ibadat, formal acts of worship, mu'amalat, dealings, mu'asharat, social etiquettes, and akhlaq, character. When all of these are found within a person, his Islam will then be complete. The third category mentioned is our mu'amalat, business dealings. The correctness of our business dealings is a major portion of Islam. And unfortunately, most people are completely indifferent to it. It is extremely important for all those in different business ventures to acquire the Islamic knowledge pertaining to the branch they are engaged in. They should consult reliable muftis and ensure all their transactions are correct. By doing so, one will ensure the entry of halal into his stomach and that of his family. Then only will the desire to do good be created within a person, and then only will acts of worship be accepted. On the day of judgment, a person will not be able to move until a reckoning of five things has been taken. Among the five things mentioned in the hadith, two questions pertain to income and expenditure. One will be asked, how did you earn your living? And how did you spend your income? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such a time will come when people will not care whether they earn through halal or haram means. May Allah protect every one of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the world is sweet and fertile. Whoever earns thereof by halal means and spends from there in righteousness shall be rewarded, and Allah will grant him entrance into Jannah. Whoever has earned in ways other than halal means and spends thereof in evil paths will enter into the abode of disgrace. Many are the ones who, for the sake of satisfying their base desires, enter into haram earning, and for them, on the day of judgment, hellfire will be awaiting them. Allahumma fadna. Number two, by that being in whose control my life lies, verily a person shoves a haram morsel in his stomach. 40 days of his action are not accepted. Whichever person's flesh is nurtured on haram, the fire is more deserving of him. Number three, whoever earns haram wealth and spends it in charity, it will not be accepted from him. In whichever avenue he spends it, there will be no barakah blessings. Whatever is left for his heirs after his demise will become his provision to the fire. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, when you consume halal, you will obey Allah, be it on your own accord or not. And when you consume haram, you will disobey Allah, be it on your own accord or not. The verses of the Quran point to the fundamental point that wealth, no matter what its form, is in principle the property of Allah. And it is He, Allah, who has bestowed upon the man the right to utilize it. So Allah has the right to demand that man should subordinate this usage to the commandment of Allah. The following verse clearly explains this point, the translation of which is, seek the life of the hereafter by means of what Allah has bestowed upon you, and do not be negligent about your share in this world, and do good as Allah has done good to you, and do not seek to cause disorder on the earth. Surah Qasas. This verse fully explains the Islamic viewpoint on the question of property. It places before us the following guidelines. Number one, whatever wealth man possesses is from Allah alone. Number two, man has to utilize it in such a way that his ultimate purpose should be the hereafter. Number three, since wealth has been received by Allah, its usage must be subject to the laws of Allah. Since wealth has been received from Allah, its usage must be subject to the laws of Allah, which take two forms. A, Allah may command man to convey a specified portion of wealth to another. This commandment must be obeyed because Allah has done good to you. So he may command you to do the same. And B, he may forbid you to use his wealth in a specified manner. He has every right to do so, because he cannot allow you to use wealth in a way which is likely to produce collective ills or to spread disorder in the earth. This is what distinguishes the Islamic point of view from the capitalistic and socialist point of view. The Quran Sharif has adopted an attitude of disapproval towards this theory, wherein man feels wealth and property is his sole property and he can do as he feels. The words of the nation of Shuaib alayhi salam are quoted. What did they say? They said, "O Shuaib, does your salah command you that we should forsake what our forefathers worshipped, or leave doing what we want with our property?" Again, what did they say? "O Shuaib, does your salah command you that we should forsake what our forefathers worshipped, or leave doing what we want with our property?" These people used to regard property as theirs, hence claiming doing what we want. However, the Quran substituted the word "the property of Allah" for the expression of "our property," thus striking a blow at the root of the capitalistic way of life. Islam has mentioned a detailed guide with regard to financial dealings. There is nothing wrong with earning and accumulating wealth, provided that one abstains from extravagance, haram, and all ways and means unlawful in Islam. Wealth should not become the object of one's life, but should be utilized to fulfill necessities and to invest in the bank of the hereafter. There are a variety of religious activities which require wealth. Therefore, a man of wealth can obtain great reward by earning and employing wealth in accordance with the Sharia, aiding the poor and needy, contributing to projects such as masajid, madrasas, works of tabligh, etc. are wonderful channels in which to employ wealth and thereby build up one's capital in the hereafter. If a Muslim's intention is correct, then his business and wealth will be utilized to benefit others. He will not break the command of Allah, and by dealing in interest and insurance, usurping the property and inheritance of females and orphans, cheating, lying, taking false oaths, deceiving, concealing false, selling forbidden items, dealing in stolen goods, bribing, missing salah with jama'ah in the masajid, taking advantage of a person in difficulty, not paying workers on time, underpaying workers, delaying in payment, working less hours than stipulated, or wasting one's time in other activities during working hours, etc., using one's cell phone or the internet for personal work, etc., he will be honest and upright, for which he will be granted the following rewards, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said: an upright and honest trader will be with the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, and the Shuhada martyrs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every one of us the ability to ensure that our monetary dealings are correct. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Now we finish off for the afternoon. It will be time for Qailula. We approximately have about an hour before Azan is called out at 4:15. And 4 o'clock will be the Jama'ah for Asar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting here and make it easy for every one of us to attain Islam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I just request everyone to forgive me for my slot that I was on. If anything I said that was untoward, Allah ta'ala forgive me and accept.